Hello and welcome to this episode of the Postural Restoration Podcast. I'm going to do my best today to introduce a really good friend of mine and someone we've gotten to know over the past, 5 to 10 years. And we're going to kind of walk through that experience we've shared together. But today we have Brad Gilden on, who practices and resides just upstate of New York City, just out of the city. But Brad, welcome to the podcast. I'm very excited about today, as we just got done discussing, but I want to walk through a little bit of Brad's, schooling and history prior to this conversation and kind of how he got here. Quick note about you, Brad. Again, I've had the fortune of getting to know you better through something called the AAPMD that we'll discuss later on, but we've shared lecture halls together and conference rooms. And I want to start off, Brad, by acknowledging that you're probably one of the greatest people I know at the ability of introducing someone and being in a room of collaborative, professionals, and humbly appreciating who's standing in that room with you. And so I am honored, and I have learned a lot from you, and I continue to learn a lot from you. But I'll never be able to introduce someone like you the way you can do it in a room full of people to others. So it's a true gift that you have, Brad, but I'll do my best here. Brad graduated from New York Medical College in 2000 with his physical therapy degree. He then went on shortly after in 2004 to complete a clinical doctorate in the upper quarter and hand therapy, and that was from Drexel. And Brad, what we're going to get into and kind of talk about is where that took you and where the foundation of your schooling took you. One of those places is kind of the Institute of Physical Art, which is IPA and functional manual therapy. And that was a big part of your life following schooling and getting into your career, as well as just integration as a whole and, integrative manual therapy outside of the scope of even one organization and all the postgraduate studies that you've done. So Brad continues to be, you're on the board of the Institute of Physical Art and a fellow of the functional manual therapy, as well as PRC and certified through the Institute in 2020. And Brad, again, I just wanted to quickly ramble off some of those things for our listeners. And As we just got done mentioning, as much as those define your professional route and career, really what we'll talk about today is really, to me, who you are. And again, I'm so excited for our listeners to get to know you in the next hour or so. So thank you.
RJ, thanks so much for having me here. And it's really an honor that you would take the time to want to hear my story. And I'm excited to share it with you. So good morning to everybody that's listening. Good afternoon, good evening, whenever it is that you're tuning into this podcast. And I just want to say to the amount of content that the Institute puts out on a almost daily basis is remarkable. Resource for practitioners like ourselves and for patients that are out there searching for solutions. So thank you for doing this and for providing such a amazing quality content service for all of us.
Well, thank you, Brad. And largely, I am a backseat role of that, and I do my best at providing those resources, but it's because of people like you and our past guests and our future guests and our community, even if they're not a guest on this podcast. There is such a vast community of providers out there that are not even PRI providers. So I'm excited to talk about some of that today. Brad, if you don't mind, I know I covered all of that in a couple minutes and I didn't do the greatest job at providing that foundation of your schooling, but walk us through after some of those, again, you were certified through hand therapy and did some specialty stuff after schooling, but where did your physical career actually take off? Where was your headspace at after schooling, coming out as a new grad at the time? And where did you get your footing, so to speak, as a, you know, a professional therapist, and where did that take you?
Great question. So going back in time, I've been at this for 22 years, and kind of feel like every 5 years I reinvent myself. Part of it is that I always feel like there's more to learn, more to grow, more people, and not enough time to learn from them. So my very first job out of school was at a Health South in Midtown Manhattan. And I was seeing 3 or 4 patients an hour. And not only was I not able to help anybody giving 15 minutes to a patient, but I wasn't learning anything. And so I decided real quickly, I lasted about a month there, even though the patients were great. I saw a lot of Broadway dancers and just a lot of really interesting cases. I knew it wasn't the environment for me. So I ended up going to Burke Rehab. And I wanted to get experience treating kind of subacute mixed neuro orthopedic cases, pulmonary cases. I worked with amputees. I wanted to figure out my passion. And at that point, I just knew I wanted to help people. And very quickly, I learned that I love treating all different patient populations, but I also knew that I wanted to be in more of a private practice setting. And so I helped Burke Rehab open up their first outpatient sports clinic and did that for about 18 months before I moved into a private practice. And that's where I started taking every course I could get my hands on in manual therapy. I thought manual therapy was the most applicable at the time for helping. I was seeing a lot of athletes at the time. And so I took all the M's, I call it, the Maitlands, the Mulligans, the McConnells, and I learned great techniques, but I never felt like there was a foundational organization for me until I started taking coursework through the IPA. And that experience, getting mentored by Greg Johnson, some of the great faculty that they have there, really gave me a foundation in the interview, right? I think that's one of the most important things we can do with patients is understand where they're coming from. Where was that first injury? And so that really helped me understand looking through my patient's eyes and being able to learn from that standpoint. After a few years in private practice, I decided I want to do something different. I want to start integrating. And so my first practice in 2005 was Elite Health Services. And I partnered with some performance trainers. And we started talking about, you know, I was seeing so many patients that were getting injured training. And when I was when I completed a course of therapy with my patients, I needed to refer them somewhere so that they could continue their journey in health and feeling strong. And so it made sense to me to bring on trainers and Pilates instructors and start integrating some different disciplines so that the patients were really getting a well-rounded experience and a handoff, right? Because just because you finish your course of therapy doesn't mean your journey in health ends. It's got to continue. And just like practitioners need to continue to learn and grow their practice, every human being needs to learn and grow as to what is beneficial for their health span. You know, how can they maximize their health for the rest of their lives? So that's kind of how I started getting into more of an integrative model.
Well, let's break it down just a bit, Brad. I want to ask you, at that time, you know, Elite Health Services, by the way, Brad, we'll get into, and I really didn't know when that was founded and how long that has existed, Brad, but we'll get into kind of how it exists today. And you kind of mentioned how it was founded and what your interests were and what your goals were. And I think a lot of that is happening, Brad. So But what I want to ask you is, at the time when you mentioned you were finally ready to kind of integrate, so to speak, and you knew that you wanted to have this smooth transition from what you could offer the client in front of you and what they might need from someone else at the same time or coincidingly, first of all, that alone is, I think, where a lot of people are currently at in their careers or in their journeys. You know, we can talk about it like it was, you know, for you, it was maybe 15 years, 20 years ago. But, you know, you mentioned it, people are growing and evolving every day. And there's a lot of people in our community and other communities that are having that experience as we speak. So I'm excited to kind of get that out there and your experiences out there for them. But at the time that you knew you needed to integrate and your clinical mind is kind of really exploding, if you will, and again, you're appreciating things like movement and variability and where do we go from my doors to continue that patient's journey positively throughout the next 5 years of their life and then the next 5 years of their life. Who were some of the early people that walked that same path alongside you through Elite Health or your other opportunities at the time? But the early years of your quote integration, Brad, I just want to take a minute and maybe if you could just walk us through the first steps you took to make that a reality for you and your practice at the time in a place like Manhattan. I'm not sure where you guys started out, Brad, but walk us through what your first steps to actually making that dream a reality and how you pulled some of those people in to form that team.
So that's a great question and a deep one and one that I'm really excited that the practitioners today are getting exposed to it at a much earlier stage in their career. Because to be quite honest, early on in my career, when I was thinking about integration, it was very narrow-minded. It was integrating within the profession, within physical therapy, like what else can I learn within my own profession? Because I know these patients need more than just manual therapy or different types of manual therapy or the neuro side of it. And I know they needed movement. So I know they needed exercise, whether it was Feldenkrais type movement through awareness or melt method or, you know, all of these movements or modalities. But it was all really within the physical world of therapy, training, or movement sciences. So early in my career, I would say from 2005 to 2010, I was really focused in that area. I wasn't thinking how to integrate outside of that. So it wasn't until 2010 that I had the chance of seeing Dr. Gelb as a patient. Ended up being in my clinic working. He was frustrated with his golf game, and he had a specific injury that was limiting him. And during our treatments, I'm very thankful we have all 1 hour treatments. And so it gives us the opportunity to really get to know our patients and, you know, what drives them. And it was with him that we started discussing what he does and working on as a dentist, really focus on temporomandibular joint. And even at that point, he wasn't talking so much about the airway. It was really more about his father's work on getting the jaw in the right position to eliminate headaches and TMD problems and tinnitus. And that morphed into my interest in going to his practice to see what he does. And then I started talking to him and his patients in the chair about posture and sleep positioning and diaphragmatic breathing. And from there, things began to grow in terms of awareness of, oh, this is much bigger than TMD. And maybe TMD is just a symptom of something else going on. And that moment or those combined moments really opened up my awareness to, wow, here's a medical profession that's open to working with physical therapists. This is amazing, because through most of my career, it was really a top down. You had the orthopedic doctors that were that physical therapists or other rehab professionals were reliant on them for referrals. Now here I'm in a situation where I'm on the same level, having conversations about the patient in front of us and how can we collaborate and work together to help them, improve upon, whatever it is that they're dealing with. So I would say that was probably the biggest eye-opening moment for me when it comes to collaborating outside of my practice or my profession, I should say.
Well, and Brad, you mentioned kind of a important piece that I think is a major difference from 10 years ago to today. And that fact is that students today, and when I say students, I mean young clinicians, that could also envelop actual student, bodies, but students, we're all students and you're still a student and you always will be. But when I say students, I mean, those seeking out PRI or other thought processes, could be post-grad, whatever, they're coming across this type of theory and this explosion of integrative thought, if you will, much sooner on in their journey. Yes. So, you experience it a few years after your clinical, practice, you're already kind of clinically active and you have what you thought at the time was a model based on what you knew, which still fits into maybe your current model. You just build upon it. But these students today are finding that discussion much quicker. And we're going to talk about later some of the people that are providing resources for them. And there's a lot of them out there. But, it is important to understand that a lot of people, even though they may experience integration, don't really appreciate it in my mind until they have an experience like you had with Dr. Gelb, whether or not they're a patient themselves, whether or not they're collaborating with another provider for a patient of theirs. To me, Brad, I think at this point in our integrative institute and collaborative community we're in, it's pretty apparent to me that the people that really truly understand it are the ones that have that personal experience first. And it totally makes sense that, you experience something as a patient and all of a sudden you understand that this field of medicine, dentistry is a field of medicine. We're all studying human systems. And you realize that this piece can really logistically fit in with your puzzle. So I want to, I appreciate all of that. And I hope our listeners can appreciate how summarized that is. I know for you, you just summarized probably 5 years of exploration during that time, being introduced to Dr. Gelb and a field of dentistry that looks at oral air, at the time you said it really was an airway, but you're studying functional mechanics of the, temporal mandibular joint or the effects of occlusion on it, whatever it may be. But even that being said, today I feel like we all, Dr. Gelb included, if he was sitting here with us, we all would look back on that and say, well, that was just the beginning. That was really so sophomoric of us at the time, because it was just the first interaction between people like you and people like Dr. Gelb. And at the same time, we were having those interactions in our community, other people were having those interactions, and the fields kind of seemed to start overlapping. And before we get further into where that took both you professionally and the field of dentistry and our involvement, both with you and without you throughout these other organizations, I want to just quickly, make sure we don't highlight or discuss a little bit more about your past and your interest and your foundation of your functional manual therapy and all of your training. And, you know, really, Brad, I would call that group of people in your life, you know, they're really part of your family and foundation of that beginning. But even when you first got introduced to Dr. Gelb and you knew that dentistry had a place in your mind in practice, and you knew that mobility and you knew that Feldenkrais and, you know, Pilates and all these other things were good, how did you rely on your foundation to build upon and say, okay, I know that, you know, I have this foundation, I have my manual training, I know what works, I know what doesn't work, but I also know there's need for this piece. And so you covered kind of how your exposure happened, but how did you then take that piece of dentistry or airway or whatever it may be and meld it with kind of your foundation and your platform of practice?
That took some time. And I would say the biggest piece was seeing some of the changes that would happen when an appliance, an appropriately placed appliance was inserted, and immediately there were changes in the system that might take a full hour session to get that you would get instantaneously. So that moment, like that was one of those moments where, okay, this is no longer orthopedic. This is neurological. This is the brain. This is the brain getting something that it wants, that it hasn't experienced, and everything else dropped off. Now we have something incredible happening in the system where the patient starts smiling. They start using their limbs in a way that's free. Their neck is all of a sudden moving differently. Their pain is different. Their strength is different. And their outlook on the future is different, right? This word called hope. A lot of the patients that we end up seeing are kind of on their last ditch effort to find a solution because they've been to all the quote unquote specialists. They've seen all of those people that, you know, say they're the best in what they do. Yet some of these patients are walking away having spent a ridiculous amount of money and their issues have not been addressed. And they've spent time and they're frustrated. And now all of a sudden you've done something that has nobody else has done. You've listened to them in a way that most people haven't listened to them. You've asked them questions to dig deeper. And now you've done some intervention that wasn't painful, that provided a neurological shift in their system that now they can start doing things from a rehabilitative standpoint. So I can start doing things with them that I wasn't able to do because of pain or limitation. And the more I saw that, the more I appreciated that. And that opened my eyes up to, wow, if dentistry can do this, then maybe there are some other professions out there also that integrate the sensory system, the brain, that can also have an impact, because not everybody responds to an appliance. And it's certainly one of the major check marks. And that is certainly something that I've learned been ingrained from my PRI experience, which I know we're going to get into. But that, I would say, was foundational in how I started looking at patients. In PT school, you spend maybe half a day on the TM joint. You don't really talk about the teeth. And you certainly don't talk about the relationship between the neck and the jaw and the whole cranial facial system. And so that made me start to want more information and read more about these other professions. So that was a slow integration, but one that I knew had to be part of my practice.
Wow. Yeah, it's, again, we're talking about things I really like how you started this conversation, Brad, because you really, I feel like in a way have had periods of time where, you know, you mentioned earlier how you feel like every 5 years you reinvent yourself. In some ways, patients are doing that with every resource and service they seek out. They're going to, as you mentioned, if we talk about the patients that are searching and have searched and gone through, gosh, Brad, you know, as well as I do, it sometimes it's, you know, it could be upwards of $20,000, $50,000 traveling the country, seeking out specialists, wearing half a dozen appliances, maybe, and they still don't have answers and they still don't have relief and they're still not sleeping well and they still can't alternate. You know, we all know the story. I guess what I'm getting at is that moment of someone actually listening to them and saying, okay, we're going to look at how your neck influences that position you stand in or how you're walking. And we're going to try to figure out what the influence of your visual system is on your headaches and why you can't sleep at night. You know, these pieces, again, at the time were pretty novel. You know, you're in a area of the country that is pretty up to speed on activity of the medical community. But again, at the time, it really was a new thing to incorporate, let's say, breath with dentistry and functional medicine and manual therapy. So it's really an important conversation. And I want to take it next into how those early years of actually integrating outside your scope, so to speak. How did that get you involved with groups like the American Academy of Physiological Medicine and Dentistry, which is the AAPMD, and then, you know, your relationship with Dr. Gelb and some of those other integrative minds in your area? How did the next 5 years look, so to speak, if we keep on that 5 year pattern? How did that first collaboration lead to more? And again, I know who some of the people are that it led to, but how did you begin working with groups of people like the AAPMD or other groups like craniofacial or whatever it may have been? Where did that take you?
Yeah, so I would say from 2012 to 2015 was an explosion. And then from 2015 to 2020 was an even greater explosion in seeking knowledge and the people that I started meeting and integrating with. When I think back, it's remarkable. So through Dr. Gelb, he introduced me to Howie Hinden, who many of you know is an amazing integrative dentist who was doing acupuncture in the early 60s, and just really a renaissance man. And Howie and Michael are the founders of the AAPMD. And so in 2015, they put together in New York City, I think it was the second annual conference. And I was invited to speak along with Mariana Roccobato and Jenny Hobson. And it was at that conference that I met Roger Price. And Roger Price introduced me to Buteyko breathing, which led me down a path of working with him and Barry Raphael, who is an orthodontist in Clifton, New Jersey, who many of you have heard of, who's just really an incredible integrative practitioner. And that led me down the path of doing coursework with Peter Litchfield at the Graduate School of Breathing Sciences, where I started learning about capnometry and the impact that carbon dioxide has on breathing. And so that was just one of the branches of the AAPMD tree that led me down that path of integrating behavioral breathing. Then I happened to, after I had lectured, my talk, I believe, was on the postural influence of the craniomandibular system and how it influences the neck. And following that talk, a lovely young lady came up to me and said, Brad, I enjoyed your talk. You mentioned the diaphragm a number of times. Have you ever taken a course from the Postural Restoration Institute? I said, no, I've never heard of them. And she said, oh my goodness. All right, the next course you take has to be from PRI. You've got to talk to this guy, Ron Baruska. He will blow your mind. And so thankfully, I had the wherewithal to listen to Heather. And very, very soon after that conference, I took my first home study course in postural respiration, and my world changed after that. And so I credit the AAPMD, I credit Heather for having the wherewithal to come up and talk to me after and share with me her thoughts and experiences on PRI, because she was kind of on her journey into this world of airway. And she recognized the benefits that she had experienced from her coursework in PRI. So that was just, you know, another branch that ended up being a foundational. I would call that, that's become a tree trunk now of its own, not just a branch to where I'm at in my practice and how I integrate the knowledge and the different set of coursework that, you know, that I've taken up to this point.
Well, and our conversation will kind of lead us there, Brad, but again, to just kind of take a moment and appreciate people like Heather in our community, Brad, you know, we have a large enough community now to say that there are a few Heathers out there, and there are a few Brads out there, and there are a few whoever you want to name. We're very fortunate to have a group of people that are very cognizant of the community out there, what's going on. Sometimes people bring things to us that we're totally unaware of. The world anymore is now, you know, at your doorstep. So there's international activity that occurs weekly that, you know, people come to us and we see exciting stuff happening. But just to appreciate the fact that someone was listening to your talk with a word called postural, what did you say it was? Postural stabilization of the mandible or something related to mandibular?
So the relationship between how posture impacts the head, the jaw, in the neck, how all of them are interrelated. But yeah. And there was quite amount of discussion about breathing, and it was diaphragm. That was the word that Heather got me on. She's like, Brad, you mentioned diaphragm a few times. You've got to take this course in postural respiration.
Well, and it's just so, it really is comical, Brad, for us to be able to look back now and say, if you look at the timing of the things you just covered, you know, you had people like Raphael and people like Roccobotto and Buteyko breathing, and this sort of building up of pressure literally in the thoracic cavity leading you towards respiration. And so you throw this talk together, and I don't mean, you know, you put this talk together and Heather's now in the room. And I guess what I'm getting at is just, it's a very small world. It's easy to say, and it's kind of a thing that is harder for me to appreciate. It's harder for me to wrap my head around how that type of journey leads you to a postural discussion at an organization that's really unfamiliar with that type of discussion. And now Heather's there to hear it. So again, it's just an explosion of opportunity for both someone like you, and also now because of that interaction, if you could, Brad, help me recall and remember exactly how Ron got involved and how this institute then became aware of you and people like Howie. you know, Ron had known a lot about Dr. Gelb and worked even, you know, alongside him and collaborated with him in the past. So we knew about your guys's work, but we did not know about the AAPMD at the time. It was relatively new, you know, a few years prior. But, you know, I'm going to let you walk us through, Brad, how Ron got more involved with that group because of your exposure and because of that conversation with Heather. You know, sure. I know it led you to things like cervical revolution, and you took a cervical course, and that led into more, and the domino effect occurred. But walk us through some of those steps that happened for you to really become more involved with Ron and with this institute.
Sure. So in 2016, the following year, I had taken the opportunity to do a keynote at the AAPMD meeting. I believe it was in Arizona, perhaps. And at that point, Howie was really, and Michael were really amped up about the impact that physical therapy was having with their patients and the influence of PT. And they had asked me for advice on who we should bring in to represent the physical therapy. We didn't have a track yet, but we were being integrated with some of the other speakers. And immediately, you know, Ron came to mind for me. You know, he was somebody that represented a completely, to me, a new way of looking at human beings and really looking at it from a neurological, autonomic, I always look for what's the root of dysfunction? Why is this person moving so freely and healthy? And you look at this person and they're not. Like, what is it within their system that is not the symptom, but the cause? And that is one thing that from taking that very first course in respiration, that I started getting that spidey sense that, all right, Ron is onto something here that is so different in thought process, yet integrates with all my other learnings about anatomy and physiology. And so I sent an email to Ron and kind of did my best job of selling what the AAPMD represents and the different people involved. And I remember very clearly, we set up a Zoom, Jen set up a Zoom meeting. At the time we had our Westport office, and I remember sitting in the room and looking at this screen of Ron and Jen, and they were just grilling me. And it was a really interesting set of questions. Ron wanted to know me. He wanted to know about my children. He wanted to know about the interests that I have. He wanted to know about my background and what makes me tick. And I found that so interesting because other people that I've spoken to were more worried about themselves. They were more worried about, you know, who am I going to be speaking next to, and what do you want me to talk about? And the initial conversation had nothing to do with that. Ron wanted to know me as a person. And I thought that was not only really interesting, but that excited me, that like I knew right away this was somebody that was going to be instrumental in my life. And then he wanted to talk about the organization and wanted to talk about who the presenters are, and wanted to learn more about where they were at, where Howie was at, and Michael, and their mindsets, because that was really important for PRI as a institute to align themselves. It sounded to me like Ron and the institute had been burnt in the past by organizations that maybe promised certain things and misrepresented themselves. And so he was really, really wanted to know deep down what we represented, what was important to us. And Obviously, I did a pretty good job during that interview, and it was a tough interview. But you know, at that point, Ron said, "Let's meet up again. Let's talk again." And I want to learn more. So it wasn't an immediate yes, I'll do it, or no, I won't. It was okay. This intrigues me. And I found that really interesting too. You know, here I was, I think we spoke for an hour, and I'm like, I need an answer. I need a speaker. And let's talk again. Let's explore this further. And I was patient and, you know, bided my time. And thankfully, you know, Ron said, let's do this. And unfortunately, it was supposed to be 2017 in Puerto Rico, and we had the huge hurricane, and the meeting got canceled. But he assured me that he would be back next year to be there and present, and sure enough, he was. And it was just an incredible experience, and I feel very lucky through these years to have the opportunity to be in Nebraska and learn directly from Ron and the crew. And then also, you know, Ron's been out to Manhattan on a number of occasions as well, where we've had amazing experiences where I've been able to bring Ron in on some cases and get direct mentorship and just watch him do his thing. And that has been such a unique, amazing opportunity. And there is nothing better than mentorship, and kind of switching gears and going back to kind of my role and, you know, what I want to do for the remainder of my career. It's standing on the shoulders of giants and passing on that information. It's our responsibility to share with others. And that is something that I've learned from so many of my mentors, and Ron is certainly, you know, a huge part of that.
Well, it's been a journey, Brad, that's for sure. And a few comments just about that, you know, initial involvement. Again, hindsight is always easier, but as we look back, Brad, we've been very fortunate to collaborate now probably five or so times at those annual meetings. And basically, you know, opportunities like this that arise, Brad, you know, we mentioned it before in our last kind of the last conversation about all these intermixes of collaborative efforts and interdisciplinary, quote, teams of people and presentations overseas, and everyone kind of has a mission or a focus or a path. The AAPMD, I think today is can envelop so many of those ideals or ideological. Yes, thank you. But, you know, we as an institute have a unique responsibility, and I'll just be honest and call it sometimes a difficult task of making sure that we're not getting involved with something that is going to cause us to go in a direction that isn't something we're interested in. So we have that kind of exposure via someone like Heather, who, by the way, as we mentioned earlier, people like that are so exciting to us because of their scope of knowledge and exploration. But, you know, you, in a sense, were already verified because of your connection, even though it was one time, with someone like Heather Carr. So I think there's that part of this discussion that is worth mentioning, that this collaboration doesn't just happen between two individuals that don't know each other. It happens between two individuals that don't know each other, who then spend a heck of a lot of time getting to know each other and getting to know how each other practices, operates, cares, you know, listens, treats. So as you mentioned, it didn't just happen overnight. Ron got to know you, got to know you well. We spent a lot of time together, and I can, you know, thankfully call you a great friend of all of ours. And again, I started this discussion off really acknowledging how much I've learned from you, Brad, and just your influence in all of our lives. So I just wanted to point that out there that, you know, for anyone listening, this type of engagement and this type of activity that we all have had together, Brad, really doesn't just happen between two people. So that was kind of the conversation you mentioned, Ron just grilling you. Ron and thus this institute aren't interested in people who are pushing a product or are pushing a way of life that encompasses one way. And that's important to us. And you know that. And I feel like that beginning already made you aware that this was something that was going to go somewhere. And this wasn't just, you know, how are we going to work together for this this one presentation and benefit from each other? You know, that's not really how we look at things. And that's not how you look at things. And that's not really how the AAPMD looks at things. And I think me having that discussion now hopefully will help everyone else appreciate how unique that opportunity is. As you mentioned, your time that you've been mentored by Ron and by Howie and by Dr. Gelb and so many of these individuals that are really giants in these fields, as you mentioned, it does not always happen every day for everyone. And that is why your story is such a gift. And again, I don't want to discourage our listeners from saying, well, you know, I've had those experiences and they haven't panned out for me. Keep having those experiences, you know, keep knocking on those doors, because it doesn't just always happen where you meet someone and it all works out.
No, you're hearing the success stories. And the most important thing is, if you have to go door to door, go to door to door to find your people. And I would say the best marketing tool that I've used in order to find those practitioners that I want to work with is not asking for patients. It's, I want to interview you to see if you're someone I'm going to refer my patients to. So you're not going in asking for handouts. You're actually vetting them. And all of a sudden that turns the table, because now that person is going to be much more open. Because just think about how many people knock on the door of these really well-established medical practitioners. They get a lot, and not many of them come in interviewing them to see how well we could work together. And so that is a strategy that has always been very, very helpful for me, A, to get in the door. And then the second biggest thing, once that first meeting takes place, is invite them in for a treatment. Invite them in to show them how you work and ask to see if you can observe them for a few hours. And that's where relationship building starts. It's your ability to be able to see how they practice and see, do you want to include them on your team? And if you like what you see, then, you know, offer that time, volunteer that time to say, hey, do you mind if I sit in and maybe ask a few questions also, so that they can observe how you interact with patients as well. And that is the start of a great integrative relationship. And once you get them in your treatment room and you show them the magic of PRI and how you treat patients and you make a change in them that they haven't experienced, they're sold. And all of a sudden your caseload starts growing and growing and growing. So I know there's been on the Google group some questions about, you know, starting a practice and doing a cash-based practice. And that is how I built all three of my practices, is that door-to-door and that individual one-on-one experience with those medical providers that you want to work with, that you're going to entrust sending your patients to, because that's your reputation on the line. And at the same time, they're gonna trust you when it's built off of that type of foundation. So I know I digressed a little bit, but
it's great.
That's important wisdom I wanted to share.
Yes, and thank you. And Brad, I just wanted to throw something on there. Likewise, all the people I know doing it well, all is a big word, but a lot of the people I know doing what you just discussed are the same individuals that are willing to knock on the doors and also have a large portion of those doors shut behind them. So it's just, you know, I'm glad you mentioned it. I don't want to spend too much time on it because I think, you know, it's a great point to mention, but it follows in nicely to, again, that conversation about your introduction to Ron and his style of introducing himself, so to speak. But in my mind, the explosion, as you mentioned, occurred when kind of people like all four of you got together and actually practiced and collaborated and saw what Ron's piece could do to Howie's piece and what Brad's piece could do and Dr. Gelb. And as you mentioned, once you're comfortable enough to actually, you know enough about each other, you appreciate what each other has to bring to the table. And now you actually get in the same doggone room as them and see what we can do as a team for someone in front of us. That's where this whole thing exploded, Brad. And I know Ron started coming to Manhattan and getting the opportunity to work with that team around you. And that really led us to continue to be involved with, you know, the efforts of the AAPMD and, you know, their annual meetings is really just kind of a envelopment of the organization. You know, we go to these collaborative cure events, one of which is coming up in a few weeks that we're sad to be missing out on. But for the remainder of our time, Brad, just if you can, I know it's a daunting task, summarize some of those years we've had together, having Ron present, you know, alongside people like Greg Johnson and the IPA and the collaborative effort that we've been trying to get the PT profession more involved with, which now has evolved because of your influence to incorporate things like myofunctional therapy and speech. And, you know, the organization as a whole is much more airway focused and kind of enveloping again. You know, it's hard to say they really focus on one thing because airway health is health, you know. Right. So again, it's a daunting task, Brad, and I'll try to contribute any thoughts I have. But before we get into kind of the future excitement and, you know, 2 weeks from now, the meeting this September, just in your mind, you know, I have a few thoughts again, just on the time we've had, you know, the times we've had kind of discussing these concepts together with other people around us, but share a couple minutes of your thoughts on just, you know, how some of those years looked. You know, Brad, every time we've had the option to get together and Ron's had the opportunity to present. And by the way, I just want to mention to our listeners that this collaborative effort of the PT track is largely a product of your passion, influence, and dedication. So thank you for growing that. Thank you for continuing to get us involved, our practitioners involved. We'll mention here in a minute, you know, some of those people that have been involved in the past and even things like webinars and all these other resources that organization helps us provide. You know, at this point, we have this yin and yang and this ping pong effect going on of ideas being shared and bounced off of each other. And that is a product of kind of the last 5 years of all of our efforts together, I truly feel. And it's really been a fun one, Brad. So walk our community through kind of how that's looked for all of us over the past couple of years. And then again, who some of those other PRI professionals are that you've had the opportunity to work with, you know, outside of Ron Horesca. So
Ron's involvement in the AAPMD was very reminiscent to really my first experience years ago when I took my first course with Mariano Roccobato. 50% of the room was dentists. I'd never sat in a room with one dentist, let alone 25, 30 dentists, and the other half of the room was physical therapists. And what I was so impressed with during that time, which I guess was a big part of my confidence going into dental offices, introducing myself and being open to working with them, was that these dentists just were looking for us. And when I watched Ron present, he was talking to the dentists as well as the physical therapists. And the one thing, if you ever go in to talk to a dentist, you got to mention the teeth. As soon as you mention the teeth, you've got them, right? Because most dentists, all they're looking at is the mouth and the teeth. They're not looking at the eyes, and they're certainly not looking below the jaw. And many of them don't even look at the TM joint. And the way that Ron was able to capture their attention and talk about the influence of the entire system on the occlusal system was just an awesome experience for me to be able to watch and learn from. And he's done it in so many different ways and was gracious. He and I presented together in 2018. And it was just so fun going back and forth, working with him. And, you know, it's intimidating with his breadth of knowledge and just his ability to talk about a pinky toe for an hour and 45 minutes and how it relates to a tooth, and just remarkable. But his ability to make you feel calm. And I've experienced that with really all of the amazing faculty within PRI. There was Luis Kelly, who presented last year and did such an incredible job integrating arm swing and the somatic NAPHIC system, and that was so much fun. And so each year that PRI has been involved in the AAPMD has really brought a different focus depending on where we were at as far as the physical therapy track. And so I'm appreciative of the flexibility. And Ron's always said, just tell me what you want me to talk about. He never came in with an agenda. And that just, as a programmer, that makes it so easy to be able to provide information that those students are coming to learn from and want to learn from. So that has been, you know, just a really great experience having PRI involved, you know, from that standpoint.
Well, and again, we have likewise felt so appreciative of that community, because it really is kind of a parallel to a lot of efforts that we have ongoing at the same time. And Brad, it really has been a marriage, so to speak, of kind of a lot of different communities coming together in one collaborative effort. There's just so many people involved that are part of that. And there's groups that Ron has been fortunate to present with and for over the years that now are a part of this group. And it's just such an overlap of thought communities that every year, as you mentioned, is different based on the direction of not only the PT track, but the physiological medicine groups, and, you know, there's the Breathe Institute and the, you know, the airway groups and IAOM and myology and functional myology, and IPA is always there. And by the way, it's such a cool opportunity to not just say there's a PT track, but there's a PT track that envelops multiple ways of approaching physical therapy. You know, what is physical therapy today versus what is physical therapy 20 years ago when you were starting out? Well, we've had the pleasure of being alongside many different ways of going about this. And it's the funnest thing to me, Brad, I know you've seen it, I know we can both talk about this, is to see Ron or Louise or any, you know, presenters you bring in to see them be able to go back and forth with, you know, you mentioned you and Ron when you first presented together, your ability to freely go back and forth between each other's realms of knowledge and comfort, but to understand that, you know, Brad's bringing in something different than Ron's experience and life's work has, but here we are kind of melding the two together, knowing that the room, like you said, you're in a new place talking to 50% dentists. By the way, there might be 5 osteopaths in the room. There might be, you know, again, a couple speech pathologists, some myofunctional therapists. There might be dentists who don't do anything besides cosmetics. There might be dentists who don't do anything besides injections. There might be dentists who do anything, you know, everyone is there with their expertise. And yet it's almost as if the curtains kind of fall and everyone's able to just kind of appreciate each other's part of that puzzle. And so it's really something we strive to do as an institute. And I feel like the real reason why we have felt the desire to remain closely involved is because of that reason. And I guess, you know, again, just to mention, you know, the experiences we've had, Brad, to see Ron up there next to someone like Greg Johnson, and for them both to be able to captivate a room full of, you know, providers that have no experience with either routes of approach, to then walk away with something that says, you know, I think I need to go back and use that, you know, technique of Greg's and look in the nose and do some of that stuff. Or I think I need to go look and see what that cervical course is all about so that I make sure the neck is free. It's just been such a powerful opportunity for people to have those experiences. And I don't know if, you know, if you want to add anything, but I do want to cover Brad here before we adjourn, how you have continued to bring in those presenters, and don't even feel like you have to focus on PRI. How do you focus on, you know, who you want to bring in this year? I'm so disappointed to miss this track that you're bringing in with myology and myofunctional therapy, and some of those individuals, and also people like Neil Hallinan and a PRI influence, and how his realm of movement affects what they're doing. So walk us through just, you know, briefly your role in that organization and how you have taken a part in providing this platform for the physical therapy track. And as I mentioned earlier, Brad, I feel like you're being a little gypped now because it's not just a PT track anymore. And I know you guys are, you're delineating that, but I guess what I'm saying is you're doing such a good job of bringing in multiple disciplines within this therapy track that I don't feel like the physical therapy track really envelops what it looks like. So talk to us about who some of the people involved are and how it's evolved over the years to incorporate those people.
So I think one of the most important points is at the end of each conference, we have a survey and we want to know what people like, but more importantly, what people didn't like or what they'd like to see in the future. And the overwhelming response was frustration that the physical therapists weren't able to sit in on any of the myofunctional tracks, coursework, presenters, and the myofunctional therapists weren't able to sit in on the PT, or if they did, they would miss something from their track. And we've come to recognize the overlap between oral facial myofunctional therapy and physical therapy. And within physical therapy, that's chiropractic, that's osteopath. So when I say physical therapy, it's not just PTs, and that's trainers too, especially a PRT minded trainer also that is thinking along the realms of these rehab specialists. And so Nicole Archambault, who runs the OMT track, and I got together and we said, look, how can we make it so that we have access to one another's tracks? And that really brought on the idea of combining the two. And we recognize that it halves the amount of time that we're able to have any PT or OMT speakers, but we recognize that it's that important to combine them. And then we have two panels, which I'll talk about too, where we combine dentists and PTs and OMTs. So you're seeing and experiencing a real life collaboration, which is what needs to happen, which is what we're all about. So I'm really excited about the great speakers that we have lined up. And it's a really fun, integrative 4-day conference for us. So the first day, myself and Valerie Sinkis are going to be doing a 6-hour pre-conference, integrating physical therapy with breathing and airway management through cranial sacral and the fascial connection. So we're going to integrate some of the Stecco fascial manipulation work with cranial sacral. So that's going to be just a lot of great research and information taken from not just Stecco, but if you've attended the Fascial Congress, there's just an explosion of research coming out on the importance of the fascial system. And there are so many different ways to incorporate and treat the fascia. So I'd just like to kind of go through very quickly what each day looks like, and just kind of highlight some of the speakers so you get an idea of who's going to be there and who's going to be presenting. So Wednesday is our pre-conference. Then on Thursday, Ashley Larson is a physical therapist that's also certified in the IAOM track of oral myofunctional therapy. So she brings just a really cool background. She's going to be talking about collaboration through communication, how to talk to the therapist down the street when you don't live close to a unicorn is the title of her practice. And she is that unicorn. And there's many unicorns out there, but how do we learn to comfortably build our team and communicate? And then Cynthia Peterson, who's a physical therapist, who many of you know, is going to be doing a talk with Sanda Valcool-Pinkerton and Alicia Pasque, who many of you might know, on proposed interdisciplinary consensus of common terminology or oral myofunctional for more oral myofunctional exercises. So one of the issues that we've had is everybody's using different language, and some of the language, quite frankly, is not using good quality medical terms in the OMT world. And so they want to move toward more proper medical terminology, and we want to have a common language when discussing these cases. Then Greg Johnson and Jane Lucas are going to be presenting. The title is Ocular Therapy, a Vision for Enhancing Posture and Respiration through their manual therapy approach. And then Patrick McCune, who many of you know, wrote, talks about Buteyko breathing. He's just an incredible presenter, and his title is The Way We Breathe Matters, Strategies, Habits, and the Muscle Systems That Support Us. And then we finish the day with a panel. So Valerie Sinkis, Joy Moeller, who's one of the great OMTs, along with Chrissy Gatto, who's also a fantastic OMT, with Laura Lucan, who's a dentist, and Dr. Mariella, who is a OT. They're going to have a panel discussion talking about cases they've worked on together. They're going to do a pediatric case as well as an adult case. So that is Thursday. Then on Friday, Lisa Pasque and Cynthia Peterson are going to be talking about a really interesting concept, the glossal postural syndrome, for those myofunctional practitioners, how posture impacts the stomatognathic system. Then we're going to have a patient talking about his experiences. He's a college student who had a severe car accident that's going to be talking about his journey back to health, which will be really interesting. Then we have Lois Laney, who's going to be presenting on whole brain change, integrating neurosequencing into collaborative therapy practices. And Lois is a really incredible presenter, incredibly bright and well-spoken. And then to end Friday, we have our friend Neil Hallinan, who's going to be talking about balancing breathing and autonomic nervous system function through music and dance. So we put Neil as the last slot on Friday to get everybody up and excited and moving and learning how movement and music has such an impact on the autonomic nervous system and being able to achieve appropriate movement, getting rid of certain interferences and tapping into parts of the brain that allow for the dropping off of some of these holding patterns. So really excited about Neil's presentation. And then on Saturday, we just have one presentation that we're doing. It's an interdisciplinary airway collaborative panel between Christy Gatto, who I had mentioned. She's an SLP, myofunctional therapist. Martha Cortez, who is an orthodontist. And then Jenny Hobson, who is a physical therapist. We have a dentist on that, Ira Shapiro. And then Michael Hutz, who is a neurologist, MD. They're going to be talking about a collaborative multidisciplinary team is a must for airway compromised patients. So it's a jam-packed schedule with really a lot of integrative work and just some really exciting presenters. And on top of that, I'm really looking forward to is one of the keynotes, Sachin Panda is going to be there. And he is the foremost on intermittent fasting or time-restricted feeding. And I have a lot of questions for him. I've been doing intermittent fasting for 3 years, and it has really been instrumental in my health and my life, which we're not going to get into today, RJ, I promise. But thank you for letting me just kind of talk about that and my excitement for this upcoming conference.
Well, Brad, it was really one of the main reasons I wanted to have you on today, and I mentioned that to you. But wow, what a panel there and a 4 or 5 days of discussion. I really want to encourage anyone, if you have not reached out and looked up this organization or considered joining this cause, to consider, you know, joining us and them for one of these meetings. Brad, there's a lot of people you just covered that mean a lot to the community of integrative health out there. We have been involved with many of them that you just discussed. People like Patrick McEwen, you know, I think he's been involved for as long as you have, and he always brings in new research or new ways that he's looking at breathing. Jenny Hobson is a dear friend of ours and yours, and I know she's got a collaborative effort going on in the Chicago area. We've mentioned Greg and his influence on the meeting in the years past, and Cynthia Peterson, and you went on and on, and you just lose track because there's so much opportunity there. The myofunctional group, you know, we talked about two realms of physical therapy and different approaches of physical therapy. There's just as many approaches to myofunctional therapy. And you have a room there and some names there that are going to each bring a different light to a style of an approach or terminology that they use within their approach. So people like Christy Gatto, you know, she's served as the IOM president and she's been involved for years, another good friend of ours. And again, you have people like Joyce Moeller who may look at it a little bit differently from her career and her experiences. And just having these different thought processes come together, it really excites me about the terminology, Brad, and how we can, you know, I'm going to have a lot of questions for you following the meeting. For our listeners, you know, we're bummed out that we can't make the timing of this conference work. We're so excited to have, first of all, you're always involved, Brad, and you're a big part of our community as well. But people like Neil, and again, all those people I just mentioned, it's going to be a fantastic 4 days. It always is. But I got to tell you, Brad, I don't know I don't know the last time we've rattled off a 4 days like you just rattled off, because it hasn't existed. We haven't had that combined track of all those people in one specific route. I think it's going to be lights out. I'm going to have a lot of questions for you following it, and I know we're going to be excited. And some of those titles you read off, Brad, you know, Ron is just like so bummed. You know, there, you mentioned the glossal conversation about the stomatognathic system, and there's always pieces that you walk away from and you want more. And this type of conference is just, it's just a starting point of those conversations. And every year, Brad, you know, some years we're up till midnight talking about a presentation, and you know, you walk away from these things and you want more. And it really is just the start. You know, we talked about earlier how the start for you was having that first experience with Dr. Gelb. The start for a lot of these people is meetings like this. And they may come with a totally unappreciative scope of what exists out there already occurring, and maybe be able to offer a new light on some of this as well. So
one thing I'm going to say, sorry to interrupt, RJ, is for any of you that haven't been to a conference, whether it's a PT conference, a combined sections meeting conference, or a APMD conference, one of the most exciting things that happen and where learning happens is the side conversations. I had the pleasure of sitting in with Ron and Sasha Gomanak on a conversation that they just went deep on so many levels related to the brain. Sasha's a neurologist that focuses on sleep and the impact of vitamin D, vitamin B. You have to have Sasha on, by the way. Just it's those side conversations that the lectures are the primers, but it's really what happens between the meetings and during the lunches and the dinners that you make meaningful relationships blossom, but also ask those questions that might have been sparked during those talks that just that's the magic of these conferences. It's about the people. It's not so much about the individual conference topics. It's really those side conversations. So I just wanted to
well, get my thoughts on that. I appreciate that as well, Brad, because you know we're going through this thing in the culture right now of expansion, growth, but more importantly, change. And we've all felt change over the past 2, 3, 4 years in response to not only the pandemic, but just shifting thought processing, shifting practices. So how we're communicating, how we're collaborating, a lot of it's virtually. Gosh, there is just such an importance to getting in the same room as these people. And I know you and I can have the same conversations about PRI courses, and we have people that contact us. And Brad, we've had kind of an explosion of online activity because, as we mentioned earlier, the world is now one place, and we have 14 countries on a given live stream. And there's power to that, and there's power to exposure. But whatever power exists in that type of a foundation, it's like threefold when you go to these live events and you spend 4 days literally brushing shoulders and communicating back and forth with people you've never met before. But by the way, they're giants in their fields, and they're people that literally have made impactful influences on things like airway, sleep, physiological medicine, and dentistry. So what a powerful conversation, Brad. I told you earlier, you know, there's a lot I wanted to get into today that we don't have, frankly, we didn't have time for. We'll have you on in the future to discuss more opportunities that I know will come up. I want to quickly end this conversation, if you have a minute, to just let our community know. And I told you even before we started, I myself am kind of, you know, I need updates myself of what your, you know, what your time, passion, and energy outside of this meeting that we discussed, outside of the AAPMD, is really being focused on. For our listeners, you have a few locations, and I'll let you kind of tell people where you operate and the locations you have, all the way from, you know, Connecticut, New York City, and Colorado. But, you know, walk our community through what the next 5 years looks like for you, Brad. And I know we're always going to be able to come back and have this conversation about our collaborative efforts together, because I know, you know, you and I talked, and none of this is going backwards or decreasing. You know, the interest and the collaboration and the explosion of knowledge is only going one direction. So I don't doubt that we'll see again, and we'll have more of these conversations. But for you personally, outside of that, what is the next 5 years? You know, what do you hopefully want to spend your time on? I know you have a kind of a Live Institute that you created, that you have some resources and opportunities for people. But if you could, Brad, not to take more of your time, but just spend a few minutes on what those next 5 years and where your energy is being put currently.
Sure. RJ, I just wanted to thank you for this opportunity. It's great to see you and talk to you. I miss you guys so much, and just, you know, appreciate the opportunity to talk to PRI Nation. So currently, I have three practices. I spend Monday and Wednesday at Elite Health Services, which is my Greenwich-based practice, where really my focus is on mentoring my staff. So I don't keep a caseload there. I'm trying to spend as much time as I can working with my staff and whatever needs that they have. That is treating patients, but it's really trying to mentor as I'm treating. I'm in IPA Manhattan on Tuesdays and Thursdays, which is Midtown Manhattan. And there I do maintain a full caseload. I primarily at this point am seeing kind of those prime type of patients that need integration. And there's a lot of integrative practitioners that I've been able to meet and vet out and work really closely with. There's three great behavioral optometrists, or actually four that I've been working with in and around the New York City area, which has been great. And then I get to Colorado. We have a practice in Aspen called Kinetic Chain Physical Therapy, where Stephen Warfel is my business partner. And I get out there a few times a year, and that's just fun going out there. So I do some mentoring of our staff out there and see some patients. But what's my future the next 5 years and beyond? I'm passionate about sleep. I feel that sleep is that pillar that everything else is based off of. Sleep is when we, proper sleep, restorative sleep, is when growth hormone is released, and that growth hormone helps turns our cells over for growth and development for children and for adults. That's when we heal. And when our sleep's not right, we're not right in every way, whether that's metabolically, whether that's from an immune standpoint. And so my ultimate goal is really to develop a program around sleep and what is impacting sleep physiologically, physically, mentally. And so that is something that I've been working on through the Live Institute. I've put some coursework together that integrates physical therapy and myofunctional therapy. And so that is not to replace any physical therapy or myofunctional therapy course. It's more of an introduction to give those practitioners access to learning more quickly and being able to integrate some of those concepts and to learn, is this something that I want to pursue? Ron and I stayed up till 2 or 3 in the morning during one of the conferences talking about a sleep course for the Institute. And that is something that is definitely still on my mind and on the horizon for me. I would love to be able to develop a course based on some of the work that I'm doing and based on concepts revolving the Institute as well. So that is where I'm headed, kind of in a nutshell. And again, this was so much fun. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. And I wish you the best of luck with the third addition to your family coming any day now. And to Jen, who just had baby number two, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the pediatric course that's going to be coming out later this month. I can't wait to take that course. And thanks for being who you are, RJ, and conducting these interviews. And I look forward to our next conversation.
Brad, it's really means a lot to have this time together today. And, you know, I mentioned that earlier, and I know we always take more time than I tell people. And that's really, appreciative on our end. And your passion, dedication, again, I mentioned earlier, all of your involvement with so many different groups of people. And again, we're just one, you know, you call it a trunk of your tree, but you know, we're just one branch of your tree. And so many of those other people are branches of our tree for us. And it really is a collaborative, integrative community that I am very fortunate to be a part of. And it's really why I remain involved, because that is my passion, and people like you and what you're doing, and however I can, you know, expose or share what you have to offer someone else who's looking for that type of activity. Brad, you and Ron and I and we have long known of your interest in sleep and sleep studies. And again, if there's anyone interested in that topic, Brad, I'd love to have you back on someday when we have more of a formalized approach, and you have more of a formalized approach, and I kind of, you know, you and I and based off our discussions, we all have our ideas of where, for example, you know, autonomics fit into this puzzle, and you know, kind of a pre-sleep programming, if you will, and what are the activities that we're doing throughout our day contributing to our sleep patterns. And so, gosh, we're spending a lot of time trying to get people to understand patterning and patterns of position. But, you know, you're looking really at patterning of sleep and how our patterns of, you know, disruption through our lives when we're not asleep, really, I believe, is affecting our lives when we are trying to sleep. And there's so many ways to come at what I just said. And I know you're doing a lot of those things, you know, not only through the route of airway and physiology and even device monitoring and how do we even monitor this activity. I know you're looking at it. And again, for anyone interested, contact Brad, not only about sleep, but about all these things we've discussed. If you're interested, Brad, I want you to just, I'm going to mention, I believe there's even a discount code that you have that you can give out to people. We have it as well if you email us. But if people are interested in that collaboration cures, that's September 15th through the 18th. Brad, I'm very excited for you guys, and we're so excited for the people involved, and so excited to hear more and really, however we can, stay involved during those 4 days while we remotely can't be there. But as you mentioned, we have a lot going on and a new pediatric course coming out. And briefly, Brad, I didn't bring it up. I think you were able to join us, but we're also excited about more webinar activity and just providing more resources around this conversation. Again, there's so many directions it can go into, whether it's sleep, whether it's, you know, diet, whether it's vitamin sufficiency, and really all those conversations happen at meetings like we discussed. And that a lot, those group interactions allow us to get into all these topics and at least Brad, have the conversation with people about where to take it. You know, we don't have the answers by any means. Oftentimes, you and I and Ron, you know, we'll walk away from a 4-hour conversation and it's all it's all wonderful theory and we all have ideas, but you walk away and we all want to know what's the next step. And I think the first step is having those conversations, obviously. The second step is immersing yourself around the people that are practicing it. And that's what this conversation for me embodies because of how we started and because of your career. Quite frankly, Brad, I know who's listening and who will be listening to this conversation. And I know many of them don't have the same opportunities or people around them is a better word that you or I or we have. So I hope this is a powerful discussion for those people. And again, if you want more or if you're interested in having more conversation, I strongly encourage you look up groups like the AAPMD, contact people like Brad, talk to people on the Google group where you have a plethora of PRI providers. Reach out to new groups. You know, Brad, you know, like I said, we don't have the answers and you're trying to look for answers related to sleep and other things, but what PRI and what groups like you and Howie and Dr. Geld do, what we strive to do is find new ideas and new interventions, create them if they don't exist. But again, that all starts with people like you. And it would be very hard, Brad, to summarize this conversation, letting people know the impact you have had on both PRI and groups like the AAPMD. And we're very excited to watch your integration of this ever-changing model. And, you know, whatever that looks like 5 years from now excites us. And I know you're excited by not only this community, but the community around you with the AAPMD and the people you mentioned. So thank you all for joining us today. Brad, thank you again from the bottom of my heart for your time. Really an honor to really share this conversation with a friend and a colleague that has provided so much to our community. And again, for more information, reach out to Brad. Brad, if you don't mind, you know, we have a provider page that lists your information and people can look up the AAPMD and read the outline of events that you covered. And again, we do have a kind of a PT track discount that Brad has graciously put together for anyone interested. So please reach out to myself or Brad for more information. And really, Brad, I encourage people to not only reach out to you about that event, but about you and your collaborative effort, and reach out to Brad if you're in the New York City, Connecticut areas. And Brad, thank you again for joining us.
Thanks, RJ. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
If you're interested in learning more about the Postural Restoration Institute, you can visit our website at posturalrestoration.com. You can also email me directly at info@posturalrestoration.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter to see how PRI Nation is currently applying this science. As always, thank you for listening, and I look forward to having you on our next episode.